afternoon will be on the record. Today is May 29th, Wednesday, and this is a pre-hearing conference for MUP 18019, paren P and paren, and MUP, I'm sorry, yeah, that's 19, excuse me, 19019, and MUP 19020, paren P and paren, which are appeals of a decision by the Seattle Department of Construction and Inspections to grant two short plats, also known as a short subdivision. The appeals were filed by the friends and neighbors of Mira Home Developments. Did I get that right?
Close enough. The friends, I don't think, was there, but
oh,
neighbors
okay.
of Mira Homes.
Okay. My name is Barbara Dykes Ehrlichman. I am the deputy hearing examiner, and I will be hearing this matter. First, I will ask the parties to introduce themselves, spelling your first and last names. We'll start over here.
David Moering, DavidMoehring.
Thank you. And you're representing the appellant in this
right.
matter.
Yeah, Brandon Gribben of Helsel Fetterman for the applicants and property owner, B-R-A-N-D-O-N, Gribben, G-R-I-B-B-E-N. And to my left, Colt Bomey, representative for the property owner.
How do you spell?
C-O-L-T, last name, B-O-E-H-M-E.
Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Man of Examiner. David Landry, SDCI, Land Use Planner for the project, DAVIDLANDRY.
Great. Thank you. All right. So we're here to address scheduling and procedural matters for this case. For the record, these projects are located at 3416 23rd Avenue West and 3410 23rd Avenue West. The SDCI file numbers are 303-2834-LU and 303-2833-LU. So the procedural matters I'd like to cover today include the hearing schedule, witness and exhibit list schedule and discovery, and whether there will be any dispositive or pre-hearing motions. Is there anything else the parties want to cover?
We don't have anything else.
Okay.
Subpoenas?
That would be part of discovery. Okay. And before I get started, I would like to encourage the parties to consider mediation as an alternative to this process. Mediation is much more flexible. And it's a process in which parties can reach mutually agreeable solutions outside of the formal hearing examiner process. While our office doesn't offer mediation services, we can provide you with information on low-cost or free services. So I would encourage you to contact each other or the city to get started. And if there's anything I can do to help in that vein, our office would be happy to do so. So with that, let's start with the issue of discovery, since that can set the schedule out quite a ways if we have to do discovery. So Mr. Moering, do you want to elaborate on what you were thinking?
Sure. I made four copies of a and I've already put a public records request in for, I think, identifying on page two, public records request in for the Department of Construction of Inspections, the Fire Marshal's Office, and the Department of Transportation. So I'm waiting on those were made on April 30th, so I should be receiving some response on those. But I guess depending on those records, I may want to I may need to ask to subpoena somebody who's on one of those records, and I just don't know who those might be yet. The three I do know who I want to have, I want to subpoena would be the SDCI geotechnical engineer, Scott Pauling, the architect in charge of the project from JW Architects, and John Mankey, who is the Pangeo geotechnical engineer.
Okay. Right, well, the to provide actual subpoenas if you want me to sign them. I believe that's how we do it.
Sure. I've done this once before, and I just basically gave the names and addresses, and then the Office of the Hearing Examiner prepared the subpoena letter and kind of a receipt attachment that kind of went along with that. Basically, I would return back to the Office of the Hearing Examiner, but
okay.
That was
yeah, and I've done it before where I've just signed them.
Okay.
So I would expect that. Look at the rule real quick. It'll take me a minute to pull it up. So the rule asks that you provide the name and address, which you've done, and the person, and then specify if you want documents to be produced by those persons, and if so, specify the materials to be produced. Indicate the relevance of the materials subpoenaed to the issues on appeal, and demonstrate the reasonableness of the scope of the subpoena sought. So overall, that's the requirement to demonstrate the reasonableness of the scope of the subpoena sought. So I'm going to go through this in very carefully, but it looks like specify specifically, I mean, I have a general idea of why these people would likely be relevant to the proceeding, but I think it's up to you to demonstrate by telling me, you know, how you're going to prove certain aspects of your case by virtue of these people's testimony. And then if you want documents from them, specifying which documents.
Okay.
Okay. So if you could do that, I'd appreciate it.
Sure.
Or I'll sign off on the subpoenas.
All right.
And that I wouldn't think would take too long.
No.
Okay. Is there any discovery on this side?
No discovery on our end. We do intend on filing a dispositive motion.
Okay.
But in terms of a briefing schedule, I was hoping we could maybe see when the available hearing dates are and then work backwards from that.
Yeah, that's usually what we do. I'm going to assume that, are your requests for discovery voluminous or are they fairly circumscribed?
You mean there's requests I put into these three departments?
Yeah.
It was basically any drawings or emails and that were relative to this project. Letters, so
right.
It's pretty comprehensive.
Okay. Mr. Landry, do you know anything about this request?
This is the first that I've heard of this request, and in reading through this document here, I didn't see that it was actually that specific.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a little confused as to what is being requested, because it's not here in writing.
And I believe subpoenas would be for testifying at the hearing as opposed to a discovery mechanism.
Right.
So I'm unclear, I guess, exactly the purpose of the subpoena, if it's to compel people to attend at the hearing or if it's for some other purpose.
Right, and that can be spelled out in your motion.
Right, and I can offer an explanation if it would help.
Sure. Go ahead.
So the online discovery process, you know, the public records request, I've already did a few weeks ago, you know, this April 30th date. And by the requirements of the RCW, the agencies have, I think, 30 calendar days to respond unless they've asked for additional time. The fire department has already asked for additional time. I haven't seen anything from SDCI or SDOT yet. And if they're beyond those 30 days, then I guess they have the right to make a complaint to somebody, whether it's a hearing examiner or, but.
It's not me, it would be to Superior Court.
Oh, to Superior Court, okay. So the thought was that with those documents in hand and also the documents already prepared on the project website with SDCI, prepared by Scott Pauling, the architects, and the geotechnical, those individuals would then be called in via subpoena because they just can't, you know, expect that unless you're going to have them in already as a witness.
Right. And if you are, perhaps we could make this process a little easier by you agreeing that those people will appear, or at least.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly we don't have any control over Mr. Pauling, and I don't think we've necessarily made a determination on who we will be calling, just because we intend on filing a motion, you know, if it's granted in whole, then there wouldn't be a hearing. If it's granted in part, then it could limit the, you know, type of people that we call at the hearing.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, then. So the reason I'm asking is that I'm trying to determine whether, you know, your ability to get your discovery is going to have our schedule move out farther.
Right.
And
right.
It sounds like you should be getting the bulk of it by the end of the month.
Right.
I don't know, Mr. Landry, if you can check in on that and see.
I'd be happy to check in. I don't really know who you filed this with, and it's not trickled down to me at a staff level.
Which is a little worrisome because you're the one who has all the documents.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, or I have access to
the
documents, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know what the due date, was it the April 30th as a due date, or that was the filing date?
That was the filing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I assumed that it would have come through the hearings examiner's office.
No, not if you filed directly with SDCI. We didn't have anything to do with
and
it.
And so I'm going to have to track down another department to see who actually got that request.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
Because it didn't make its way to me, unfortunately. I have a pretty good idea who it is. It's just
okay.
It wasn't communicated to me that this was going forward.
Well, can you do me a favor and check on that and then send an email to all the parties and let us know what the status is?
Yes.
That would be helpful. Okay. Well, our schedule is pretty booked through July, so we're looking at a hearing date in August. I know that's a prime vacation time for many people, so I don't know if anybody has a vacation they'd like to declare at this point in time for any weeks in August.
So I have the list from all of our potential witnesses, so I don't know if we want to just start going through the earliest dates and then...
Yeah, let's start with... Well, let's start with the question to you, Mr. Mooring. How many witnesses do you think you might have?
I think about, with the subpoenas, about 10.
10. Okay.
Again, depending how these discovery requests pan out, but right now it could be up to 10.
Okay. And Mr. Gribben?
I would have to imagine, I think we'll probably have more around 5, and I would have to imagine they're probably duplicative with what Mr. Mooring is proposing.
Right. All right. And Mr. Landry, do you have any?
Possibly 2.
2. Okay. Well, the maximum number, 17, looks like a lot of witnesses, but I'm sure we won't really have that many. But I would say we would need to reserve probably 4 days to be safe. That being said, I think the first available week is the week of August 12th through 16th.
That works for me.
I'm assuming it works. I haven't been in contact with the potential witnesses, but I'll commit to the 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, that week is available for us.
Okay, great. Then we will. So I will schedule it Monday through Thursday, using those dates if necessary, but we'll have a block of days just in case. All right, so moving backwards from that, do our witness and exhibit list first. Typically, we require the final witness and exhibit list in at least a week before the hearing starts, and we can do it farther back if you like. We have enough time to do that. So, do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, I think since we do have enough time, and I don't know if it's your practice to stagger them as I've seen in the past, but maybe having appellants 3 weeks before and then the cities and the applicants 2 weeks before.
Okay, well, we typically do a preliminary and a final. I can do the preliminary on the same day for everybody, and then we can stagger the appellants and the applicant and city if you'd like to do that. So
that would be fine.
I have no objection to that.
Okay, so why don't we say the final list for the city and the applicant are due on July 29. That would be 2 weeks before hearing. 15th of July. Does that sound reasonable?
I was thinking the 22nd, which would be the week before that.
Or the week after that. Yeah.
Or, let's see, city is due the July 29th, is what you said?
Yeah.
So if that was the week before that?
We could do that. Is that all right with you?
That's fine.
For everyone, do July 1st?
That works for us.
Okay.
Actually, I have another pre-hearing appeal conference on that day, plus a couple of other things.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure if that's going to work out.
All right. It till the 3rd?
That would work.
Okay. July 3rd.
Okay.
That was for the preliminary witness. Yeah. And she'll enter an order that has all the dates.
All right. So now we can move to dispositive pre-hearing motions. Which typically don't require a lot of evidence in the record. I mean, it could be a summary judgment motion, I suppose, but.
And I would just reserve our right to do a motion to dismiss and or for summary judgment.
Okay, all right. So, do you have a proposal that you'd like to make on that? For you, I would assume during the month of June we would be doing this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if I could have until June 10th.
Okay, to file the motion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Moring, do you think you could respond by the 17th?
Well, it depends if it's a summary judgment or if it's a motion to dismiss. If it's summary judgment, I'm going to need my subpoenas answered. So is there a duration in which... So, say for example, let's say I subpoena the fire department, we issue a subpoena with a request for documents from the fire department, and
it's typically, I think the format is usually 7 days, if I'm not
That's
mistaken.
That's what the hearing examiner rules provide for.
Okay, 7 days to for them to reply to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you want more time, we could stretch it out to the 24th of June. Response date?
Sure.
And I just want to warn everybody, I'm out of the office for the week of July 1st, so I won't be deciding any motions then. But you're entitled to a reply. Mr. Griffin,
well, I'll be heading out of the country on the 28th, so I'll have that by the 27th.
Okay. So just so you know, I won't be deciding that till I get back, which is July 8th.
Not to hold you to it, but would you anticipate the end of that week or perhaps longer?
I'm hoping I could get to it fairly quickly. I don't have anything on the calendar when I get just depends if I have something sitting there waiting from before I left, which I don't think I should have, but hopefully I'll be able to get to it that first week. So I know the sooner the better, right? Okay, so that's those dates. Is there anything else we need to cover?
I think that was everything that I had on my list.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's good.
Okay, great. Well, we will be off the record.